الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many benefits of reciting Durood-e Paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated, Ki recite Durood-e Paak upon me, for your Durood-e Paak reaches me. Subhanallah. Now, in the olden days, perhaps it was a little difficult to understand for some people The devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never had a doubt about it. But some whose knowledge, whose intellect wasn't quite there, would question that how can we recite Durood e Paak in one part of the world and the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hear us while they are present in Madinatul Munawwara. But today, if anybody asks the same question, then it is wholly unjustified, even the question itself. Because modern technology, binary codes, and simple chips in phones have made it possible for you to hear anybody from Madinatul Munawwara and somebody in Madinatul Munawwara to hear you. A simple phone call. So if a binary coded chip using the air and what Allah has created, the waves between it, can communicate and somebody in Madinatul Munawwara can hear your voice, then without doubt Allah has granted His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi sallam magnificent powers and magnificent knowledge so that the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows not only that his devotee is sending durood as-salam upon him, but who the person is and where he is. So next time you read Durood-e Paak, read it with the conviction and the belief that I am reading, and I read it with love and emotion and devotion in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can hear my durood as-salam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now over the many episodes that we've done, we've looked at the Islamic angle for depression and the types of factors that contribute to our state of mind and negativity. And today, I want to bring that to its ultimate conclusion, because a lot of times, our ultimate goal in life is to be happy. We want to be happy, we want to be content, and we want to be free of worries. Yet, we look for that happiness throughout our lives in different places. And every single one of us, whether it's a child, a teenager, a youngster, somebody elder with family and children, or even somebody who is in their old age, we all have this concept of what we think happiness is and how we're going to set about to achieve it. So when it's children, for example, for them it's playing this game, for them it's having this food, for them it's having this toy. You know, if I had that toy that that child had, I would be ultimately happy. And that mentality builds in, because the view of happiness is very materialistic. It's on what possessions you have. And perhaps it's because of that early childhood kind of a desire to have these things, that as we get older, things don't change. Now, what was important was that as we got older, we changed our perspective. We looked at why Allah Azza wa Jalla had created us. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, I created man for my worship. So I created man to obey me. And yet, what we were doing is as a child, we were obeying our desires. I want this. And you'll often see children, when you try to explain to them, they say, well, I want this. And you say, well, you know, you can't have it for X, Y, and Z reasons. But the child, being a child, can't comprehend. So he says, well, I still want this though. Even if it's wrong, I still want it. And that was the problem as a child. And gradually, the child learns that he cannot have everything he wants. But unfortunately, some of us take these traits into our life. So we set these goals. So as a child, the analogy was a toy. As a teenager, it's wearing these clothes, it's the hairstyles, it's copying, you know, possibly wrong role models and actors and etc. And as you get older, then there's the attraction of, you know, women or men. And these become your ideals. So, you know, if I was to be able to marry this woman, I would be the happiest person in the world. How many times have we heard that? Or as a youngster, teenager, if I could have that car, wow. You know, this particular car, the roof comes off, summer weather, I'd be driving down with my sunglasses on. That is ultimate happiness. As they get older, he's got two houses. I wish I had a property. If I had my own house, that, you know, it was mine to own, not rented or anything, I'd be very happy. Then as you get older, I've got my main house, but you know, I've got no children. I wish I had children. Look at me, he's got five kids. Then, as you get children, I wish I had investment properties. Look, he's got all these investment properties. That will make me happy. That's why I'm not happy, because I don't have all these investment properties. He's ultimately happy because he's got them. He's got the fast car. He's got the mansion. And as we get older, oh, I don't have the health anymore. You know, I'm 55, 60. I wish I had the health. If I had health, I'd be happy. As you get older, if I had obedient children, I'd be happy. If I wasn't in a care home, I'd be happy. If I could feed myself, I'd be happy. And all our life is spent chasing this concept of happiness. Well, today I want you to think about something. What is this concept of happiness? How do you define it? The Oxford Dictionary says happiness is a state of being happy. Now that doesn't really help us. What's a state of being happy? Happiness is an emotion. It is a contentment. It is a pleasure. But it's not short-lived. It's a state. It's a feeling. It's not just a trait. It's something of long-lasting quality, a permanent nature, a characteristic, a personality trait. You know, something which is solid in there. It isn't just about the physical appearance. You know, if I've got beautiful features and I'm tall and broad and strong, that, when I look in the mirror, it may make me slightly happy. Or if I drive a fancy car, when I see it, it may make me slightly happy. But is that the ultimate happiness? That my soul, my body, my mind, my brain, and my heart are searching for? How can they be? Because when I look around, I see that that child, the example I gave, when he gets his toy, after a short time, he's not happy. That pleasure was short-lived. It was a pleasure to gain that toy, but it wasn't happiness. For that teenager to wear those fancy clothes, to have that haircut, had that short pleasure in it, but it wasn't. For that man to marry that woman he desired, a little bit of happiness, or pleasure, but nothing long term. For the youngsters who wanted that fancy car, when he got it, drove around up and down the streets for a week, showing it off. But after that, he wasn't happy. For the young man to buy the house, to marry the woman he wants, to have children, doesn't bring him that ultimate happiness, and that trait, and that personality, and that characteristic, which would define his life. Yes, he got the temporary rush and the pleasure, but that was it. So how do we define this happiness? What is it? Because it seems to be the ultimate goal of everybody. Even those who are very religious want to find that ultimate happiness. They want to be content. They want this experience. And they don't just want it for a short time. They want it over and over again. So what is meant by this? Let's look at this art of happiness. Amongst the greatest blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal is this happiness, is this smiling face. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam smiled and took people who were in the depths of poverty and difficulty and distress. And when they saw this beautiful Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling, it changed their lives. Jiski taski se rote huye haspare, us tabassum ki aadat pe laakhu salam. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character Mubarak was a character of happiness, of bringing joy to others. Ultimately, what we search for is this blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, of being calm, being content, being stable, and having a happy heart. Happiness is clear mind. It is enabling you to become a productive person, not clouding your judgment. It is an art that has to be learnt. It is a skill that you have to gain. As a child, we learnt that if I want that and I get it, I have a little bit of pleasure. And as an adult, we think that that still applies. It doesn't. As an adult, we have duties and responsibilities. By getting the big house, you're not going to succeed. If you look at that child who gets the toy, he's only happy for a short time. The next time you see somebody driving a £100,000 car, look at the stress of the person inside. Next time you see somebody in a £1 million mansion, knock on the door and ask them, are you truly happy? And they'll tell you all their sob stories and all their difficulties and all the calamities that befall them and all the stress and the depression and the anxiety that they endure. And it'll make you think that mentally I was thinking that £1 million mansion with 5 servants, 50 rooms and everything else is going to make this person happy. But it hasn't. So we have to look elsewhere. We have to go back to basic principles of achieving happiness. And that is recognition of who you are and where you're going. You shouldn't be swayed by material matters. Shouldn't be swayed, or your life shouldn't be governed by the circumstances you find yourself in. Little things shouldn't disturb you. Little losses shouldn't change your life. But your heart should be strong and have trust and know that you are on a journey. On a journey to your Lord, to Allah Azza wa Jal. A journey where you need to purify yourself. A journey where you need to accept the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you train yourself to be patient, when you train yourself to be forbearing, when you are ready for hardships, when you face calamities with trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, then true happiness descends upon you. You see, true happiness comes from a strong iman. True happiness comes from a strong trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. True happiness comes in submission in the court of the Creator. That's where true happiness is. It doesn't come from all these material things. And this is why you've got millionaires and billionaires who are seeing depression counselors and psychologists, because money won't bring this to you. You see people who have every luxury in life, and yet they're the most saddest people on the surface of the earth. Why? Because material things don't bring happiness. And yet, you see the person who gets up in the middle of the night when nobody's watching. He lays down the prayer mat and offers his tahajjud. And he is the happiest man in the world. We are too short-sighted. The problem is that we're too concerned with ourselves. And this is why we get depressed. very important to understand. A lot of your depression, a lot of your anxiety, a lot of your anxiousness, a lot of your stress is based upon your personal circumstances. You're not looking beyond this person. You're just looking at the very limited surroundings. You're very short-sighted. You're concerned about your own being. You're forgetting about the world around you, and you're forgetting about the reason for your creation. Allah Azza wa Jal created you to worship Him, to obey Him. And yet, all you can do is think about your desires and how they've not been fulfilled. And in that, you then become ungrateful because you put yourself into a very, very dire state where you've got 99.9 blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. But because He tests you by not giving you a few, you know, Zubillah min Zalik, start to curse, or you start to deny, and you start to disobey the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what the shaitan does. He creates despondency. He creates this state of mind where, despite having everything, he makes you look at the little picture, makes you short-sighted, makes you forget who you are, makes you forget the temporary nature of this world, makes you forget that these material things don't bring happiness. And he takes you down a road where he's leading you into darkness. All that you are preoccupied with is just yourself, just your desires, just the things that you haven't achieved, just the things that you could have got. You've not believed in decree. You've not accepted that what I have is what the Creator thought best for me. The shaitan says, he didn't deserve the mansion, you did. And suddenly you're depressed. The shaitan says, he didn't deserve that car, but you did. And suddenly you're upset. This is where the joy, the happiness, the contentment, the zeal is removed from our life. And suddenly, despondency and anxiety and depression kick in. The basic art of happiness is to learn to think Islamically. It's to learn that you are submission. Islam means submission. You are submitting in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You are accepting His decree. You bridle your thoughts. Ask yourself, £1 million mansion isn't going to make me happy. It doesn't make anybody happy. Fast car isn't going to make me happy. What is going to make me happy is being obedient in the court of my Creator. Don't wander in your thoughts to the palaces of the kings. Be content with your cottage, because that is what Allah has granted you. What is the value of having a palace if you can't sleep at night? Yet, if you sleep on the floor, but you sleep a beautiful night's sleep, then that sleep on the floor is better than the softest and most comfortable beds in the world. Now, money can buy you the most comfortable bed, but it can't buy you sleep. Money can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. Money can get you medical treatment, but it can't give you health. Money is not the solution to your problem. Your depression increases. People get more depressed as they get wealthier. People get more upset and more anxious as they get healthier. They get unfit and unhealthy as they get richer. Look at the history. Those who disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal, even though they had everything, they ended up in a life of misery and a painful and disgraceful death. And yet look at the life of those who had nothing but the love of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were the happiest people on the surface of the earth. If you study the life of the chiefs of Mecca, they had everything. They had gold, they had silver, they had money, they had houses, they had cattle. But they were the most despicable people on the surface of the earth. The most wretched people who had walked this earth. They were depressed, they were anxious, they were upset. They were never happy. Read the books of history. They had everything but happiness. And yet look at the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great majority of them were poor. They didn't know where the next meal was coming from. They didn't know where they were going to sleep at night. They didn't know what the next day was going to bring. Some of them didn't even have family, didn't have children, didn't have houses. Some of them didn't even have shoes on their feet. But pick up the books of history. They will tell you that they were the happiest people on the surface of the earth. They were the most content. Why? Because they loved Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They valued that. They didn't value the luxury life of the world. It didn't mean anything to them. When the world and its riches came to them, they shunned it away because it was unimportant. Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came first. Their life was simple. The next meal, and that's it. Serving the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, staying with the beloved Habib was the ultimate goal in life. And when they were fulfilling that command, even if they were sent to certain death, which some of the companions were sent with messages to the great kings and of the time, they knew that they weren't coming back from this. They weren't going to return to their families. Some of them went to emperors. Some of them went to tyrants, the most powerful at the time. Some of them, one, went to a man who claimed to be a prophet, knowing that this was a one-way journey and leaving 10 or 11 children behind. And yet, they went with happiness, with contentment, with great courage, great trust, and amazing love of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not money, it's not worldly possessions, but it's something much, much more. It is something which is ultimately valuable. If you had very pure water, let's say Zamzam, would you put it into a dirty glass? You wouldn't. The true love of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won't enter our dirty hearts until we start to cleanse them of the love of material gain. Whether that's a toy, a car, a status, a woman, money, bank balance, houses, properties, investments, all of these things become barriers in our path to reach our Lord. And because they are barriers, which we think are the ultimate goals, these are stations that we were there to destroy. But we have sat on the station and thought this is our ultimate destination. And we've allowed the train to pass every day. You know, the muezzin is calling, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah. The train is going. The Imam Sahib is calling out. We hear bayans, we hear the Quran, we see the Quran, we see the masjid, and we pass by it. The train is going. And we're sat at the train station. And after a while, we will realize that we're not going anywhere. And then despondency and depression kicks in. Because the shaitan has left us in darkness. Because our mission wasn't to get to the train station and then sit there. Our mission in life wasn't to buy a fancy car, to buy a nice house, to marry a nice woman, to have children, to be successful in your business. No, you were created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's the concept of worship that we have. Not just worship wasn't just praying five times a day. No doubt that is. No doubt reciting the glorious Quran is. But it was living your life in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of the beloved Habib. That was what you were. This was the manual of life. This is what you needed to break out of this vicious circle of the world, which was taking you around in a spiral into an abyss. What you needed to do was get out of that by using the love of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't bridle your thoughts and say, whatever happened in the past was the decree of Allah. Whatever is in the future, I don't know. But today is the day. And what do I need to do? Not chase worldly pleasures, but to be obedient in the court of my Creator. I need to today pray with a humble heart. Pray with sincerity. I need to make sure I pray my Fajr. I can get to the masjid, let's get to the masjid. After Fajr Salah, I'm going to sit down and read the Quran. Today, it doesn't matter if I have to eat bread and just water, so long as it's halal. Today, I will not backbite. Today, I will not lie. Today, I will not hurt others. Today, I will serve my parents. Today, I will prepare for Zuhr. Today, I will protect my Asr. I will make sure I pray Maghrib. I will make sure I pray Isha. I will make sure I go to sleep without any rancor about a Muslim in my heart. Then you will taste what true happiness is. We've never tasted true happiness. We've tasted these temporary pleasures of buying a new car or buying a new device and being proud of it, and it lasts 20 seconds and 30 seconds. True happiness is in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ala bi zikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam isn't something that comes and goes. Look at the life of the companions. Once they set their eyes on that beautiful face in the state of Iman, then for the rest of their lives, they were tortured in the streets of Mecca, dragged through the streets, hot Arabian and peninsula, burnt. And yet all they said is, we love that beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only thing that came from their mouths was Ahad, Ahad, Ahad. He is the one, the Creator Supreme. Didn't Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu have desires? Wouldn't he have wanted to wish not to be a slave? To have a house, have children, have a big mansion, have a fancy horse? No doubt those desires may have been there. But he sacrificed all of them for the desires of Allah and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sacrificed everything for the pleasure of Allah and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sacrificed everything for the happiness of Allah and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what do we do? He became the ultimate example of true happiness by this sacrifice. But unfortunately today, what we do is the exact opposite. We sacrifice our duty in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for our worldly desires. I want that car, halal or haram doesn't matter. Namaz doesn't matter, I want to work 18 hours. Nothing else matters, I want to chill with the boys. And we take our desires and we give them priority over our duty in the court of Allah and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once you do that, the temporary pleasure comes and then it disappears. And then you are left in a life of depression and despondency. That is truly where this depression comes from. It is our disobedience in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is our lack of effort in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the knowledge that we need. This is the mental state that we need to be in. That the worldly thing won't give me happiness. Increasing my worship, increasing my zikr, increasing my nuafil, my durud-e-paak in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these are the true things that will bring me happiness. Being kind to people, helping the needy, serving your parents, being nice to your family. These are the things that bring happiness. All our life, we have run around and looked for happiness in the wrong place. True happiness from the heart lies in devotion and submission in the court of Allah and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My message to you today is that if you are suffering from depression, if you have this despondency, if you have this fear, these anxieties, these stresses that you can't get over, this grief, stop yourself. Think, I was nothing. Allah Azza wa Jal created me. He created me for a purpose. My purpose isn't to build worldly wealth, because when I go into a dark and lonely grave, I can't take any of that with me. My purpose was that I was on a journey back to my Creator. And if I decorated my life with obedience in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, by following in the footsteps of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then my Lord has planned for me a perfect paradise. This journey will be made easy for me. My death will be made light for me. My grave will open up for me. On the day of judgment, I will stand proud. I won't be depressed in this world. I won't be depressed in my grave. I won't be depressed on the plains of resurrection when I get up. And I won't be depressed in Jannah. I will be happy all the way through this journey. But to achieve that happiness, I must stay away from those who are evil, from those who lead me astray, from those who cause me to go into depression. I will not look up at those who have huge mansions, but I will look down at those who are less well off than me. I will lock my grief away of the past events, and I will thank Allah Azza wa Jal for all His blessings. I'll get rid of all my grudges, my bitterness. It will be all removed, like it will be in Jannah. I won't be dry. I won't be deceitful. I won't be untrustworthy. I will bring happiness to all those around me. I look at the pleasures of the world. I will enjoy the flowers and ignore the nettles. I won't be of those people who ignore the beautiful garden, just concentrate on the negative, because this will give me a tragic state of mind. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, happiness is an art. Happiness is a skill. And in Islam, happiness comes by changing your mindset, your character, and your thinking in line with the Quran and the beautiful Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not having these long hopes, not having these desires which control you, but having this one mission in life to please Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm going to leave you with a formula that is going to help you increase your happiness. This particular action will change your life. It is guaranteed to bring happiness to your life, to those around you. True happiness lies in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Protect your salah. Read with humbleness. Read the Quran every day. But then, beyond these basics, are we going to spend life just doing these basics? No, beyond those, do the work of the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if it's dars at home with your children, even if it's teaching the love of Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam to your family, do it. Even if it's spending a little bit of time together as a family reading Durood-e Pak, do it. If it's inviting your friends who are on the wrong path back to Islam, if it's becoming a muballigh of Da'wat-e Islami, or it's attending the Thursday Ijtimaas, is traveling in the Madani Kaflas of Da'wat-e Islami to learn the Sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is a brilliant start. But then, why shouldn't I be one of those beautiful Islamic brothers who work in this amazing network of Da'wat-e Islami all over the world, where millions of people are doing the work of Deen? It brings happiness to your life. It brings barakat and blessings and mercies of Allah Azza wa Jalla in your home. And you know when these brothers spend 4 or 5 hours cleaning the Fazani Madinas and running the madrasas and doing this and doing that and volunteering for this, and a lot of volunteers doing all these things. At night, when they go to bed, they sleep beautifully with a smile on their face because they know that they're doing it all for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Somebody who works an 8-hour shift comes home grumpy. But somebody who does the work of deen, it could be 12 hours, he will come home content that I've done it for my Creator. He won't get depressed. He won't get upset. He will be happy. And that's what we've got to learn. The more work of deen that you do, the more effort that you put in, whether it's inviting your family or your friends or your relatives to the deen, whether it's helping the amazing work of Da'wat-e Islami, whatever it is, the more you do in the way of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it's becoming a student, the more you will see that depression, despondency, fear, grief, and all these negative thoughts will disappear. And a new horizon, a new world will open up to you. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all true happiness, which lies in His obedience and following the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. আমি বিজাহিন নবীল আমিন সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়াসাল্লাম সাল্লু আলাল হাবিব সাল্লাল্লাহু তাআলা আলা মুহাম্মদ সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়াসাল্লাম।